Hello and welcome to our online press conference. My name is Tom Pelton and I am Director of Communications for the Environmental Integrity Project. We're a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that acts as America's environmental watchdog. We hold polluters and governments accountable to protect public health and the environment. Today, we're releasing a new report on a wave of proposed carbon capture and storage projects and carbon pipelines proposed in Louisiana, the most of any state in the U.S. We will be talking about their safety and environmental risks and the growing statewide community opposition to them from both sides of the aisle politically. You can find our report on our website at environmentalintegrity.org. We will have five speakers today, then open it up to questions from reporters. Journalists, we'd love to get your questions. So if you have a question, as we go along in the presentation, click on the Q&A tab on the bottom of your screen. You can find it at the bottom of your screen, sometimes under the more, the three dots saying more. Click on that, you'll see Q&A. Click on that, then type in your name and say you have a question. Then during the Q&A session at the end, I'll unmute you. And please remember to unmute yourself as well on your computer. And you can ask your questions. So today, our speakers will be Abel Russ, Director of the Environmental Integrity Project's Center for Applied Environmental Science, or CAES. Preet Bains, Research Analyst at EIP and author of our new report. Ashley Gagnard, President and Founder of Rural Roots Louisiana, based in Ascension Parish. Robin Thigpen, Executive Director of Fishermen Involved in Sustaining Our Heritage, or FISH, based in Cameron Parish, Louisiana. And finally, concluding, Renee Savant, President of the Louisiana CO2 Alliance. So first we'll start with Abel Russ. Go ahead, Abel.
Thanks, Tom. So the idea of capturing carbon dioxide and pumping it underground goes back to the early 1970s when it was first used to push hard to get oil out of the ground in a process called enhanced oil recovery. But the practice of using federal taxpayer funds to pay for it started under the George W. Bush administration. At first, the idea was to promote what they were calling clean coal, by capturing the carbon dioxide emissions from coal-fired power plants and storing that carbon dioxide underground. And the idea of using taxpayer subsidies to do this was supported by elected officials in coal-producing states as a way of keeping fossil fuels central to our energy supply in the face of growing competition from renewable sources and natural gas. But most early carbon capture projects, for example, at the Petra Nova power plant, W.A. Parish Power Plant Petra Nova project southwest of Houston turned out to be prohibitively expensive, even with the federal subsidies. And that project shut down in 2020, as did a lot of early carbon capture projects. Then in 2022, the Biden administration breathed new life into carbon capture and sequestration with billions of dollars in new subsidies and tax incentives as part of a compromise with coal state senators to win key votes for the Inflation Reduction Act. The new wave of taxpayer dollars allowed Petra Nova to start up again in 2023, but that was just the beginning because since then, the billions of dollars in taxpayer subsidy have inspired more than 270 proposed carbon capture projects across the U.S. Most of these are not at coal plants anymore, but at a new generation of facilities like ammonia manufacturing plants, liquefied natural gas export terminals, and other things like that. And of course, enhanced oil recovery has also gotten a boost with all of this. In the Trump administration's One Big Beautiful Bill passed last year, congressional Republicans increased subsidies for enhanced oil recovery by 42%, bringing it up to $85 per ton, which is the same rate that applies to all other carbon capture projects. And between 80 and 90% of carbon capture projects approved for taxpayer subsidies so far have been for enhanced oil recovery. And it probably doesn't need stating, but using carbon dioxide to extract more fossil fuels is not a climate solution. You may have seen that Exxon published an op-ed in The Advocate yesterday or this
This
morning.
morning.
And if you search, you won't find the word climate in there because that's not what it's about for them. It's about money. They're making a lot of money with these projects, and that's all it is. So, shifting to the report that we're releasing today, my colleague Preet, who you'll hear from in a few minutes, found that the largest concentration of the new wave of carbon capture proposals is in Louisiana. Companies have proposed at least 65 carbon capture and storage projects in the Bayou State, more than in any other state. And that includes the carbon capture projects and also the carbon injection components, plus 11 pipelines to carry carbon dioxide to the waste disposal sites. After Louisiana, Texas is second with at least 48 proposed projects. And zooming out nationally, only about 22 of these carbon capture and sequestration projects have been built, two in Louisiana, one in Texas. But it's growing rapidly in Louisiana, as you can tell from all the proposed projects, encouraged by elected officials. But local citizen opposition is intensifying. People across the political spectrum have been organizing under the Louisiana CO2 Alliance, a group from whom we're going to hear in a few minutes. And Louisiana residents have good reason to be apprehensive about this. Carbon capture is an untested technology with significant safety risks. For example, a carbon pipeline in Satartia, Mississippi, exploded in February 2023, could have been deadly. It released carbon dioxide plume that hugged the ground and migrated laterally. It's invisible, people couldn't see it, but it displaces oxygen. It shut down a lot of car engines, and a lot of people were asphyxiated. Luckily, not to the point of death, but more than 200 people were forced to evacuate and 45 required hospital treatment. It could have been much, much worse. Carbon dioxide can also push brine and other contaminants into underground drinking water aquifers, and the plants that are capturing the carbon are often simultaneously emitting a whole range of other harmful air pollution as part of their industrial process. And there's no evidence that carbon sequestration is a real solution to climate change, even outside of the enhanced oil recovery context. In fact, it appears to be mainly prolonging the life of the fossil fuel industry at taxpayer expense. Among other problems, there's a real potential for fraud, or at least waste. So if the carbon sequestration project fails and all the carbon dioxide comes back out into the atmosphere, either it won't be detected, or if it happens more than 3 years after the project ends, the recipient of those tax credits does not have to give the money back. So they can keep all the taxpayer money, even though there's no actual sequestration. And these projects will leak. Research commissioned by the Environmental Integrity Projects Center for Applied Environmental Science, where I work, found that there are at least 190,000 abandoned wells in Louisiana. About 23,000 of them were dug before 1953, dug and plugged before 1953, so they often have inferior construction relative to today's standards. And about 13,000 of these old and poorly constructed wells are built over areas where the carbon might be stored. So that's a very real potential leakage point that's Swiss cheese-like all over Louisiana. And we know that almost all wells in the carbon plume area are a potential problem. The very old and unplugged wells are obviously a problem, but even the ones that have been plugged can be a problem because either the plugs weren't installed correctly or they deteriorated over time, and carbon dioxide can leak up the wellbore in all of those locations. There is EPA guidance on how to search for and remediate those wells, but we don't think most companies are going to follow that guidance, and we don't think any state's going to make them do it. So that's a real problem. We created a detailed online map of Louisiana that shows the locations of potential carbon sequestration wells in Louisiana to show how close they are to the thousands of orphaned and abandoned wells. I don't know if you can see that on your screen, but if not, we'll make sure you have access to it later. But you can see that they're right on top of each other, and there's really not much room for error. So we think that Louisiana should put a hold on all of this until we can get a better handle on where and how to store carbon dioxide underground safely and then regulate it properly with much more vigorous government oversight and with real meaningful monitoring. As we're going to hear from our next speakers, people are rightfully concerned about carbon dioxide pipelines being built through their communities, about all the new industrial development that these tax incentives are facilitating. And they are appropriately dubious about whether this has any significant environmental benefit. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Abel Russ, Director of the Environmental Integrity Project's Center for Applied Environmental Science, or CAES. Next, we'll have Preet Bains, Research Analyst at EIP and the author of the report being released today. I'm also going to put in the chat for everyone a link to the map that Abel was talking about. You can go to that map and see a very detailed map of Louisiana, where all of the that we know about gas and oil wells are located, and the proposed carbon capture sites and how close they are to one another. So check that out in the link. Go ahead, Preet Bains.
Thanks, Tom. As Abel mentioned, we found 65 proposed carbon capture and sequestration projects associated with the oil, gas, and petrochemical industries in Louisiana, more than in any other state. The highest concentration of these projects is in southwestern Louisiana and Cameron Parish, where 11 projects are planned, many to collect and inject underground the carbon dioxide from a cluster of liquefied natural gas or LNG export terminals that are being built and expanded. The next most intensely targeted part of the state is Ascension Parish, along the Mississippi River between Baton Rouge and New Orleans, where 10 carbon capture projects are being proposed, including near Donaldsonville for the CF Industries ammonia manufacturing plant, and 7 carbon injection wells that are being proposed by a Houston startup company called Blue Sky Infrastructure. Overall, in the state, we found 30 projects that claim they will be able to capture an estimated 33 million metric tons of carbon dioxide per year. The actual proposed carbon capture amount is likely higher as companies don't always announce the capture capacity of their projects. These span a wide range of industries, including hydrogen and ammonia, liquefied natural gas processing, and renewable diesel or gasoline refineries. Three projects are direct air capture plants, which would capture carbon dioxide directly from the air instead of at an industrial facility. There are also at least 35 carbon sequestration projects, which propose to store 135 million metric tons of carbon dioxide per year. Again, as we don't know the annual injection rate proposed at every project, the actual claimed sequestration capacity is likely higher. These injection sites can be dedicated to one carbon capture project, such as the Lake Maurepas sequestration site that is designed to sequester CO2 from the Air Products Blue Energy plant in Ascension Parish. Others will accept carbon dioxide from multiple industrial sources around them. One carbon dioxide storage terminal has also been proposed, where carbon dioxide would be temporarily held until it can be injected underground. We found at least 11 proposed carbon dioxide pipelines. Some of these are shorter pipelines that will link industrial facilities to existing carbon pipeline infrastructure, and others will directly transport the CO2 from the point of capture to the place where it will be injected underground for storage. Only two projects are currently operating, like CF Industries' Donaldsonville Nitrogen Complex, which is expected to capture up to 2 million metric tons per year from its ammonia plant. The amount of carbon dioxide captured in practice remains to be seen. This avalanche of projects in Louisiana represents a build-out of CCS infrastructure on a never-before-seen scale. It would require carbon pipelines to cross throughout almost the entire state, but especially in the South. It would be, in some cases, even involve bringing emissions from other states into Louisiana for storage, a place which is already overburdened by the oil and gas industry, as we'll hear from our next speakers.
Thank you. That was Preet Bains, research analyst at EIP and author of our report. Next, we're going to have Robin Thigpen, executive director of Fishermen Involved and Sustaining Our Heritage, or FISH, based in Cameron Parish, Louisiana. Go ahead, Robin.
Thank you, Tom. So at FISH, we represent about 170 coastal residents and commercial fishermen, mainly from Cameron and Hackberry. Our organization started about 4 years ago when the large, massive LNG buildout came to our doorsteps. Since then, our fishermen are already facing like 80% decline in catches. That's shrimp, crabbing, oystermen. We are still dealing with the Venture Global facilities not operating within standards. The agency's not doing what they should be doing to prevent, the emissions, the noise pollution, the vessel traffic, the marsh destruction, dredging mud spills. Lately, we've had on February 3rd was a major explosion with the Delfin pipeline, which is right down the road from a school by 6 miles. The nearest hospital in Cameron Parish is, 45 miles at least, and that's going into another state, Port Arthur, Texas. It took over an hour and 40 minutes for hazmat and emergency responders to reach the site in Cameron Parish to even help the injured worker and to see what was going on. We just don't have the emergency response infrastructure needed to support any more industry build out, especially with them proposing 11 projects, including the Cameron Parish CO2 hub and the Hackberry carbon sequestration pipeline. We just don't have the infrastructure to support that. I mean, these people are being forced out of the only livelihoods that they know while industry just continues to ramp up the projects. You know, they're on fast track permits. They're not doing the studies that they're required to do. They're cutting corners at every turn, and carbon capture is not a proven science. This is an experiment, and Cameron Parish is tired of being experimented on. You know, we are worried about the saltwater intrusion. We're worried about how we're losing a football field a day in land down there. How can you put anything underground that is going to stay underground? And we're against this. The whole community is against this. They're against more projects. They're against CCS. They're against the LNG. We need to slow down, start doing the proper studies, learn what is going to happen before we bring this to anyone else's backyard. And I'll leave you with this. The parish should not be asked to risk what m remains of its lands, the waters, and the community stability in order to solve a pollution problem created by the very industry that is destroying what made Louisiana unique to begin with and a sportsman's paradise.
Excellent. All right, that was Robin Thigpen. Next, we're going to have Renee Savant, president of the Louisiana CO2 Alliance. Go ahead, Renee.
Oh, wait, let's.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, if I slow up on my bandwidth, let me know and I'm going to go off because of the bandwidth, but you'll hear me. You just won't see me live. So the three key issues that I want to address today is transparency, safety, and landowner rights. I'm speaking on behalf of all the grassroots organizations and the citizens throughout Louisiana who are fighting for their land, their water, and their constitutional rights. First, I'd like to talk about the transparency. We're moving these projects through at a record speed. The Louisiana Department of Conservation and Energy, under the leadership of Dustin Davison, is operating a fee-based permitting option, and citizens are calling this a pay-to-play and/or the fast-track program. Act 458 of 2025 requires rules for expedited processing, including the timelines, record keeping, and appeals. If companies can pay to move faster, the public has the right to know who is paying, how much are they paying, what will they receive, and how quickly can they buy their way to the front of the line. As of yet, they have not given any of that information. Louisiana primacy is already speeding up the process compared to the EPA review. The question is, why the rush? Why are they rushing all of these pipelines and the sequestration sites? And who benefits from the speed? Is it because of the 45Q tax credit and the timeline that they're on? Second, safety. CO2 is not harmless, as you've heard from the others about the events in Mississippi. That same pipeline runs through Louisiana, and it raises serious concerns. Sections of it has already had reported leaks, and the pipeline is only 11 years old. Louisiana has no statewide setback laws for schools, hospitals, nursing homes, and neighborhoods from these CO2 pipelines. In Calcasieu Parish, our mapping shows two schools, one in Vinton and one in Gillis, within 1,000 feet of CO2 pipelines. Once again, the same failed pipeline installed by Denbury in Mississippi. A rupture near a school is not an abstract risk. It's a public safety emergency waiting for the wrong day and the wrong wind. Third, but not least, is landowner rights. In 2006, Louisiana citizens voted to strengthen constitutional protections against taking a property for private development. Because our land is not, should not be seized for private gain under the label of economic development. CCS creates very few long-term jobs compared to the billions of dollars that the United States citizens will be forced to pay. And yet, landowners are being approached with eminent domain in the background, pressured to sign these leases and easements for less than fair market value of their land. They are given the clear message that refusal to sign this is not an option. This is not consent, it's unlawful taking of one's land. Not to forget about the permitting issues. On October 15th of 2025, the governor issued an order pausing the review of Class 6 injection submitted after that date. The state acknowledged that a single Class 5 review can require roughly 2,000 man hours to complete. So here's what we should be asking: transparency, publish the fast track fee schedule, the participants, and the timelines. Safety, enforce CO2 pipeline standards with real emergency planning and protection for our citizens. Landowner rights, no taking of our land for private property for billion-dollar corporations. We all need to pay close attention to the 2026 legislative session coming up. State Representative Mike Johnson will be introducing House Bill 7 on eminent domain. It is the most expansive eminent domain to ever be introduced. We need this bill to become law. In closing, I want all Louisiana citizens to realize this is not a left or a right issue. The citizens versus unchecked government power partnered with corporate greed. And when citizens stand together, regardless of our social status, our race, or our political affiliation, we will be a force to be reckoned with. We should not allow division. We should stand on principle, not party. Most importantly, we should not be asked to surrender our land, our water, or our constitutional rights for billion-dollar corporations. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Renee Savant, president of the Louisiana CO2 Alliance, which represents groups all over Louisiana. Before our final speaker, reporters, we would love to get your questions. So go down to the bottom of your screen and look for the Q&A tab. You might have to click the More tab. It's got three dots, More. Click that, and then you'll see the Q&A button. Click on that, type in your name and just that you have a question, and then I'll call on you. And you can ask your question when we set up our Q&A session. So Ashley Gagnard was not able to make it today. So instead, we have Ann Rolfes, President and Executive Director of the Louisiana Bucket Brigade, speaking. Ann, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, thanks everybody. I'm going to start out just by acknowledging, that Ashley is working, and it's really hard for the ordinary person to engage in this process. And I know Renee is doing this in her spare time and leaving her garden and having to run to Baton Rouge, and Robin has a child. I mean, those of us in Louisiana who, this is my job. This is my job. But for most people here, people have other jobs. People are trying to live their lives. And the idea that you have to get off of work and try to come and speak at a press conference simply to defend your home is a ridiculous situation to be in. So I'm starting out, I have to acknowledge, already upset about this industry that makes people leave their productive work in order simply to defend our homes. And that is such a waste of energy and opportunity in Louisiana. All right, here I get into the substance of the matter. My new favorite motto really is what I've learned from my new friend Renee Savant, which is when she says it's not about party, it is about principle and about what is right. And it is not right for our state to hand over not just our land and our water, but actually the very earth below our feet to these companies from out of state. And this kind of activity will damage and sacrifice What is the soul of our culture? And look no farther than the fishermen and the fishing grounds of Cameron Parish or the beautiful land in central Louisiana. In Ascension Parish, and I can share a map with people afterwards if y'all are interested, there are a proposed 9 carbon capture projects, including some pipelines that would cross parishes and into Lake Maurepas. I think that's pretty well known, probably by Louisiana-based reporters. And when local people object, for example, Ashley Gagnard, every time she stands up to object to these projects, she stands up by saying that it's the carbon capture component of all the projects that worry her most. So in St. James Parish, there's currently proposed a Hyundai plant, which was announced from the White House, an Exxon ammonia plant, another CF Industries ammonia plant, and a pig iron plant called Nemo. In all of these projects, the carbon capture components are essential elements. And when Ashley and Twyla Collins and Kiki Judson and others in Ascension Parish stand up to object, they're told, "Oh, well, this has been in the works for, well over a decade. You're a little bit too late to complain." But there are two issues there. One is this is people's home, and the fact that they didn't find out about this industrial destruction until after documents were signed is a problem. And then secondly, when these projects started to be developed, CCS was not part of the conversation. And so it is disingenuous at least and dishonest for the parish officials and for industry to claim that CCS has been advertised and communicated within the neighborhoods. In fact, the opposite is true, as you can see from the robust opposition in places like Lake Maurepas and by Renee's group. Two final points. One is that CF Industries, which already has an operating CCS component, is already the largest ammonia production facility in the world, and it is right next to the Donaldsonville Primary School. I don't think I need to say much more to say that that is messed up and that is no kind of future for any of us. And then second point is that there is an enormous amount of taxpayer money being put into these projects. It's mind-boggling. If counting on industry and the new evolution idea here is CCS, if industry were so great, Louisiana has over 200 petrochemical and other facilities. Louisiana would be one of the richest states in the country. And instead, we're one of the very poorest. And why are we one of the poorest? Because of terrible ideas like this, in which there's a federal tax subsidy, not a credit, but a subsidy, 45Q, in which we hand over millions of dollars to corporations from out of state. And then the second component is that the state of Louisiana has a $600 million incentive package for Hyundai and the associated projects that they are calling the Riverplex Mega Park. That has a huge CCS component to it. And the state of and we the people are going to be paying for that. And it's just mind-boggling. Our stance all along has been, how about instead of handing over $600 million from corporations that A, are not from here, and B, will destroy the very foundation of what could be a thriving economy. How about instead of handing money, our money, over to them, how about you invest in us? Let's look at the landscape of small businesses along the Mississippi River and specifically in Ascension Parish. How about instead of supporting 9 carbon capture projects, we would support the small businesses and help them to thrive in Louisiana. And thank you all very much. And I know Ashley is going to be really sorry that she missed it, but that's the reality of this life when industry and our own government are pursuing a hostile takeover.
All right, that was Ann Rolfes, Louisiana Bucket Brigade Executive Director.